Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. My name's Brandon Woodall. I'm your host. To the left,
Brett Welty.
Bryce Armstrong.
Andrew McKinley.
And it's been about, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Since we recorded last. It's been a joyride. From what I hear from last time.
All ups, no downs.
Wait a minute.
Hang on.
How you been, Brett?
Well, we've been doing all right. Since I last joined you fellows in the recording booth, we had kids get sick, which seems to be the story of most people's lives. So
checks out.
It was a rough week or so, but we're doing all right. Everybody seems to be on the mend, so no complaints.
Nice.
Yeah.
Your wife's home, so.
Yeah, she's ahead. She's also back from Florida. Which
what
is
about you, Bryce?
Brad Strong.
Bradley.
I'm fine. We've had a rough couple of weeks, but the Lord is showing us his provision. The Lord is showing us where he wants us to go. And we just got to figure that out.
Yeah. How about you, Andrew?
I'm about done with it. I'm done with this week. And last week. No. Our lives are so nice and simple compared to a lot of people in the world. I don't even feel bad complaining, but yeah, it's a little bit rough. I had a busted windshield in my car again, which is like a month after I replaced it. So, yeah. Like I said before, either the weather or I have an enemy. And
I could be.
I don't like
that. Maybe the weather is the enemy.
People pleaser. So like the thing is, I'm not even that mad about the windshield. I'm like, who doesn't like it?
But yeah. You should be mad about the windshield. That's enough.
That ain't cheap, dude.
No doubt.
Car's not insured anymore because of a hailstorm 6 years ago. But
You know what?
It's rough.
I had that problem.
Yeah.
And I had a Mazda.
People kept beating your windshield lid because it.
No, it's because of the hail.
Yeah.
Hail damage.
That's
what I did as much back.
Yeah, we had that. And there's some stuff come up that just kind of reminds us of like the struggles that my wife and I are having with, we're waiting on the adoption stuff to happen finally. And then we have stuff kind of remind us that's been a long time, just kind of dredges it up, makes it hurt again for a little bit. And yeah. So yeah, a little bit of a rough go, but all in all, we're still blessed. And we'll just trust God. Whatever's going on is part of the plan. We just don't know how yet. How about you?
Me?
Steve.
Shut up. First off, I had hair.
So did he at your age.
Contrary to couple months of hair way before.
Well,
got
all right.
30.
All right. You're not 30 yet.
And I haven't lost my beard. Full head of hair if you can't.
30 is imminent.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, I feel like this the week after we recorded, my kids got the flu for an entire week.
Sweet.
Gross.
Fluvid.
And then I don't even remember last week. So it seems like it's just been a blur. And I've been tired. My allergies are nuts. And I've been having headaches. But yeah, it's just.
Sounds like fun.
It's just life.
It's just life.
Yeah. Per my wife, I looked like I had two black eyes. That's how deep and apparently abysmal my packs under my eyes. So, but
that's great.
Someone came at you with that.
She beat you up in your sleep.
That could be. But yeah. So start off this episode. I want to go to something personal that I experienced.
Mm.
And it's odd fortune cookie.
I quit.
So I'll give you an example of one I got from, I believe it was Mr. Stir Fry.
Wait, this is real?
Yeah, this is a real.
Oh my God.
I'll give you, and then we'll go into some people have found. But mine said, what does your future hodl? Yeah. It was, it's supposed to be old, but it was HODL.
Oh, hodl.
Hodl.
What does my future hodl?
I don't
know. What does my future hodl? So I thought,
I want to know.
Why not look at other funny fortune cookie sayings?
Please let me know. I need to know.
These are great. Maybe.
Maybe we will think so. Maybe not.
Number one, the fortune you seek is in another cookie.
PTSD.
Number two, a closed mouth gathers no feet.
Admittedly, it's about like don't put your foot in your mouth. But the rest was like, that doesn't seem right.
That's still not. That's weird.
They don't understand the language. Not a native speaker.
Teabag.
Clearly not.
Oh, man. A teabag fell into my tea.
Weird. Oh.
Now it's when there'd be more tea flavored.
Tea flavor. I hate when it gets all in there.
I know.
What?
Being all infused.
Infused. Number three.
Ew.
A conclusion is simply the place where you got tired of things.
Say what?
Number three. A conclusion is simply the place where you got tired of thinking.
Oh. I'm done. I'm bored.
I mean, it's good.
I'm good. This is good enough.
Come from all that jumping.
Yeah.
Jumping to it.
Number four, a cynic is only a frustrated optimist.
What?
Also, how is this a fortune?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering too. But I really enjoyed it.
Checks out.
Number five, a foolish man listens to his heart. A wise man listens to cookies.
That had the potential for a really good.
It really did. It was on a good path, and it was like,
You're right.
This one's dear to my
heart. I'm sure.
Number six, you will die alone and poorly dressed.
Oh my goodness.
Number seven, a fanatic is one who can't change his mind and won't change the subject.
That's pretty good. I don't disagree with this. This one I can get on board with.
Yeah. I don't see how it's funny. It's actually classic.
Some of these aren't as bad.
I thought I'll try to log into this to think about things and feel stuff. What the heck?
It's just that kind of podcast.
Wait a minute.
We set this early.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. Just 20 minutes.
Number eight. If you look back, you'll soon be going that way.
That is how I drive. Like I'm driving, and like I look to the left, my car goes to the left.
One of these days, I will drive with Bill.
You're driving on the viaduct.
Yeah.
There it goes. Find
the fortune cookie told him.
Good darn it.
Number 9. You will live long enough to open mini fortune cookies. If you're into takeout.
Why are you just staring at me?
Because you're into takeout. We all know that about you.
It checks out. I can't tell you how many times I had DoorDash this
week. Oh, man.
It's been a few.
I think on Tuesday I had some yummy hot and sour soup.
Yeah, you sent us a picture of that?
Sent us a picture.
It did not look good. Just it did.
It was the front.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah, where was
Doc Howe?
Oh, that's why it didn't look good.
Dude.
Hot take.
Hey, they stepped their game.
Hot take.
I don't know if they changed management or something, but their game has stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
I'd try it.
Very good.
It's been a long time.
Number 10.
It has been a long time.
Number 10. An alien of some sort will be appearing to you shortly.
Checks out.
That's a good one.
That. No, I don't even get it.
But I don't think sticks and come sail away.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little bit. It's just over. Anyways. Number 11. These kind of suck.
I love the realization you just came to. Like, it twice took, was there seven
times. It took 10 of them.
I was really, these really kind of suck.
I was there when you read yours.
Let me look through these.
It's hoping for more English translation problems.
Like HODL.
Oh, this one. This one's a good one. He who throws dirt is losing ground.
I've actually heard that before.
Yeah.
That's how he would. I'm not going to tell you.
No, yes. Tough.
He who last is laughing at you.
Huh? Yep. Or is he just dumb?
He didn't get the joke.
What if I'm
laughing?
He's laughing at me then.
You'll be hungry again and in 1 hour.
I'm hungry now.
That's good. That's
good. Because Chinese food makes you hungry.
Funny because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's the MSGs.
Mm-hmm. You know, MSG.
Let me find a good one. Oh, this is good.
I thought it was Madison Square Garden.
No Madison Square Garden in this food.
Yeah. I don't believe in eating that.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
My body's a temple.
That makes sense.
It's not as bad for you as they say.
Madison Square
Big
Garden.
Sugar.
They suck. Who's they, by the way?
Big Sugar and Big Salt.
Who is they?
Oh.
Yeah.
They're a conglomerate.
Because MSG is just them. As one thing. It's delicious.
That's how you put it in food.
That face was incredible. It's delicious.
Delicious. All right. I get it. Okay.
Okay.
Are you done?
I'm just trying to find a good one. There's nothing.
I'm going
to
read you some English while we're waiting.
There's one that says that wasn't chicken.
That was a good one.
Is that
I got the broccoli beef.
Ask your mom instead of a cookie.
Okay.
That's true.
Wow. He's still going. She's not done.
Yeah, I know.
You should ring it. Okay,
this is like the hotel breakfast in the lobby in somewhere. I don't know where.
Checks
out. The sign says, please do not touch bread with hands. Please use tongue.
Yes. Thank you for redeeming this.
We got a bottle of stuff that says lip and eye remover. Not makeup.
I like that.
We got advertisement for a smartwatch. It says through it, we can not only see the mobile phone, but also a new rear.
A new what?
Nerd.
Oh, it's supposed to be world.
Yes. W-R-I-I-D.
Read.
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 Yes, it took me that long to get.
He laughs last.
Dumb.
We got t-shirt here. We got t-shirt that says, I jumped, don't care. I am beautiful. I am perfect. I am smart.
Thank
You got a drive-through window that says only trash.
I said trash or chash?
Only chash, no charge. All right, we got a package for a children's costume. Now, I know this is an obvious plant, so this one isn't real. This one's someone puts this in the store as a joke, but it's still funny. It is a wizard costume for a little girl. It says Hermione Grinder.
She was my favorite character.
The top student at Chogaborts. We got a Blu-ray. It's got Optimus Prime. My other friend says deformed car.
That's one way to translate transform.
We have a sign that says "Se habla español." We speak Russian.
I knew I should have drank that at that point. But I did.
Yeah, gracias por no subir al árbol, which means please don't climbing the tree.
Direct translations.
Goodness. We got a fish tank at a supermarket. Big fish swimming around there says fresh crap. If you give them room, they get bigger.
Yes.
That's all I got. Did you get any more good?
That was good.
I found one more.
Get it.
Man trades babies for 15 Big Macs. BadCriminals.com.
That sounds like some Florida Man stuff right there.
You can see it.
I can't see it. That guy could handle 15 Big Macs.
He big boy.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you find someone who's like 110 pounds. You're like, man, that person could eat a whole bunch, and I don't know why.
Jesse Cole.
Okay.
Don't get it.
Call him out.
Gross. Jesse Cole.
Let's have him on the show.
I don't understand.
We need you to come on to our podcast.
Come on to the podcast. Sewage spill kills fish, but water saved to drink.
Huh?
I like sewage.
Oh, he's still going.
No, I was. Yeah, I'm froze. What? Last one.
Ooh,
17 remain dead in morgue shooting spree.
Remain dead?
That's one way to write headlines. Remain dead. I hate math, say 4 in 10. A majority of Americans.
I need your brother to like just drudge up some like.
I should ask him.
Old
please
headlines.
I'll see what I can do.
All right,
because I totally barfed on this one.
It's okay. There was redemption.
Everyone barfs sometimes.
Everyone barfs sometimes.
Children's book, I'm sure.
I hope so.
There with everybody poops.
Yep. Did you just write a jingle for this? I'm trying to process.
I can make jingles off the top.
Proud of you.
It's off the dome, off the top of my raka. Show Baraka.
Okay.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
We don't do that. Anyways, so to rewind this thing back around to the most important thing that we could talk about is the gospel.
Mm.
The gospel's not funny. And that's okay. Anyways, I want to go back and just briefly talk about summarize what we did last time, just to get everyone caught up. So we talked on silence and solitude, scripture, and prayer, fasting. We hit all those four. And we're going to continue on, and we're going to start off with simplicity, which I'm going to cover.
Do it.
Simplicity. So we'll go through 2 Corinthians 1:12. That says, sad.
Sorry, that's chair. That's my chair.
But that's all right. But 2 Corinthians 1:12. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so, relying not on the on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. So structuring your life in such a way that it becomes more freeing, which we live in a world of clutter. I think there was a study that showed that the amount of storage units that we have all over America could literally fit every single American in one 5x5 space.
Oh my word.
Yeah. And all those storage units are for all of our junk. If you know what I mean. So that to me, it's how much are we living in excess though? This is just storage.
Yeah, they keep building them here.
Yeah.
They don't stop.
Yeah.
No.
To Friedrich Nietzsche, in his mustache, he says the mother, this is one of the best, a good thing that maybe Nietzsche might have said, but it said the mother of excess is not joy, but joylessness.
Mm.
That's really good.
So how much, so I want to give you with in the, that listen to this and us, like how many times have we tried to like fill in the gap of maybe loneliness or something like that with stuff. If I get this thing, if I get this certain clothing, this item, it'll make me feel better, but it ultimately does make us feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Makes us feel worse.
That's right.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love stuff way too much. It's probably one of my biggest sins, and which, I mean, they're all the same, but it's stuff. I'm like, oh, I need the new phone. I need a new car. Fortunately, I have a wife now who tells me I'm dumb. So I don't have as much stuff anymore.
I've been trying to tell him he's dumb for you.
Yeah,
but I'm not a girl.
Sure. Nah, you're not as pretty as her. Sorry.
I'm not trying.
But yeah, like.
Checks out.
I mean, that's kind of what I've had to go through that too, because I like just like. Probably some of my favorite ones are shoes.
Oh, you love shoes, dude. If we were the same shoe size, you've tried to give me so many shoes, but I'm kind of sad we're not the same shoe size because I would take your hand-me-downs in a heartbeat.
But so what I've done, so I've minimalized my wardrobe. So I'm down to, I have two pairs of casual shoes, one for like special events and then my everyday ones. And then I have one pair of work shoes. And then anything like that. And then like with clothing, I just try to wear like the same kind of thing. So there's no surprise or whatever. And then surprisingly for me, it's been easier to like not want more clothes and stuff like that too. Because it's like, well, I wear like a black t-shirt, probably black jeans or gray jeans. And then that's usually what I wear. And so I've been slowly minimalizing my wardrobe just to kind of like not only declutter my closet, but kind of declutter the feelings that I am not enough or whatever. So I think that comes with, it's like, oh, we're not enough. We're not going to be wanted enough by the peers around us. But I'm like, that's true. So I'm like, you don't have to dress in a certain way. You don't have to look a certain way to be accepted. And God meets us there too.
Yeah.
And in Matthew 6:19-21, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So William of Ockham? Yes. William of Ockham.
Yeah, the razor.
Yeah. William of Ockham says it is pointless.
Razor. Yeah. That's right. Don't stare at me like that.
He knows. William.
I don't know anything.
Yeah. It's okay. William of Ockham, he says it is pointless to deal with more what can be done with fewer. So it's just reiterating that we don't necessarily need to clutter our lives with all this stuff. And I think that clears us up to probably commune more with Jesus in our personal lives when we're not distracted.
things that pass away.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one of the main reasons we keep talking about not having your phone. I mean, that's one of the biggest distractions we have.
Yeah.
And decluttering all of that nonsense. All
I was going to say, can we add just entertainment? Which could necessarily
be for sure
an extrinsic, you know, object that we can hold, but I think it robs the most of our time.
Oh,
I mean, look at what the streaming services.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never, like, who would have known, like, even 10 years ago how much distraction, especially, like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and distraction and stuff like that, like, it really helps us to not think of, like, our deep pain. It numbs our pain because we don't want to deal with it.
Right.
But I think if we're going to become closer to Jesus, we have to deal with that kind of stuff. And that might hurt a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
Brett, you've been oddly quiet.
Well, I'm just taking it all in. You know, I thought of when you said earlier, I thought of in Jeremiah 2, it says, God speaking, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So when I think of this topic of, we're calling it simplicity, but realistically it could be anything under the umbrella of distraction. You know, how can we live a less distracted life? I think the root of it comes down to this desire to have, if our joy is water, if God is living water, we have these things that we create to try to hold our joy that just can't.
Yeah.
Entertainment is in there, clothing, wardrobe, the next gadget, pencils, I mean, whatever. I just kind of throw everybody in the bus. I throw myself under the bus too here with some what I like. But we all do it, right? We all try to take this thing we call joy, and instead of pursuing the living waters of Christ, we try to take this joy and put it in a cistern, a container to hold water that is broken and can't hold it. So, like, it's not that those things are bad. It's not that clothing is bad. It's not that it's just that it's not meant to hold your joy.
Yeah.
It's not meant to give you what you want it to give you. Only God gives you that.
Yeah.
In a simplistic or distraction-free life is a life saying, I'm going to put away the things that don't give me joy and pursue joy in one place alone.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the answer to idolatry.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
No, yeah. You're
absolutely. Stepping on your toes.
Because
I mean, that's what these boil down to, is that I need these objects. They help fulfill me, or I need to distract myself with entertainment. I need to numb myself because there's something I want to ignore in my life. And so instead of relying on God, instead of taking our burdens to Him, we go to these idols.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we just fill our minds with them.
Right. And there's so many idols.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about being more, as a society, we talk about being more progressive and, like, no need for religion and stuff, but it's just changed forms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just changed into idol, like the apple is the idol, you know, from our tech.
Mm-hmm.
Apple is an idol. Android can be an idol if it's what we're obsessed with getting all the time. Mm-hmm. Getting the latest new one, because it's like, if we don't have the newest one, then we're behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true.
Right.
You know, for practicing the way, it says on the subject of simplicity, it says we live with a nagging sense that we never have enough time in the day or money in the bank. We feel torn in multiple directions, tired of low grade fatigue, behind everything, beset by constant distraction. We all know the cliche that the most important things in life aren't things. It's true. And yet, time and time again, we fall for advertising ploys. Is there a practice from the way of Jesus that could set our heart free from what Jesus called the deceitfulness of wealth, the false promise that money and stuff can give us security and satisfaction? To get free of the endless cycle of desire and find contentment, margin, and life in the kingdom of Jesus. Yes, there is the practice of simplicity. It's just living simple, even in Jesus. And him being enough instead of stuff being more, like, more important to you.
And Richard J. Foster, he says, the goal of work is not to gain wealth and possessions, but to serve the common good and bring glory to God. You know, that's from the book Freedom of Simplicity. Finding harmony in a complex world. Hmm. You know, we do, like it says, like, it's not to gain wealth, because if we're gaining wealth, that means we're storing up treasures on the earth that are eventually going to fade away. And we are not going to be remembered after like a generation after we've gone almost, you know, after we've died, we're not going to be remembered. We fade away. Yeah. But I think there's a hunger to be remembered, to be worth something, to more, and to find pleasure in being needed. But ultimately I would hope that we'd be just striving to be in communion with God daily, over, you know, holding on to a vapor of life.
Yeah, in Sunday school this morning, Pastor, he made that comment where he said, in the way I would say it, I don't remember how he said it, but the idea was basically, if someone was to bust into your life, would there be enough evidence that you're Christian? Would there be enough there to convict you of the crime of being a Christian?
Right.
Like, you should be, I think the way he said it was, you should be doing and living in a certain way that people would wonder, why are they living that way?
Yeah.
Because the ideas were different than the world. We're not pursuing the things of the world. And I think what I like about that Foster quote is, the goal of work isn't to become more wealthy and to amass more things, but it is to bring glory to God, which I think is just really helpful when we think about what are we doing? Why are we doing it?
I think that quote, it feels like it comes from a place of like how it seems in this day and age, careerism is really important. And like having a title, a purpose on like your work, can overshadow just life with God. They're saying, I need a job to provide for my family, do what I need to do to like sustain that or whatever, not live with more and all that. But it comes from the obsession of having more over being with God. Yeah, it just distracts us. So here's the things that I think, five things to become more simple, I think.
They work.
They work for me. They work for everybody. That's what a rule of life is about, it meets you where you're at and who you are and what kind of person you are, and if you're a type A or an introvert or whatever. So it goes from number one is just getting rid of excess stuff, maybe by donating it or just throwing it out. Two would be making a budget, seeing like where are you spending more of your money, and saying, well, if I'm wasting, say I'm wasting a certain amount of money on just getting junk food or something like that, maybe eating in more and being able to maybe give that money to someone who will need it, or donating it to a cause that you believe in, or giving more to the church that you go to. Number three would be simplify your wardrobe. Be mindful about what you buy. So if you're buying, say if I, like for me, I would buy black on my shoes that look different.
But they're
black and white. Or I buy a sweater that's black. And then I buy another sweater that looks slightly different, but black.
So it's like, and then buy one that doesn't fit you and then give it to me.
Give it to you.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Would you prefer the slate or the charcoal gunmetal?
Exactly. So just being mindful about what you buy, maybe buying things that are more sustainable or whatever, that could be better on the earth. Because I do think we can, I think as, what you call it, as I think God gives us, he shows it to us in Genesis about how we're supposed to cultivate the earth, take care of it.
Stewards of it.
Stewards, yeah. We're supposed to take care of it, not just... I know we all know like it'll come to an end, but I do think we're supposed to take care of the places that we're at. Is God
Thank God, cares.
Still creation.
Mm-hmm.
I think
he still did make it.
Yeah. And it'd be foolish of us to just abandon that idea that we don't need to do that now. But I think we do need to take care of where we're at.
That could be a whole nother thing. Number four, if you don't need to upgrade your phone, don't do it.
Huh? Why?
What if it's free?
What if it's, I mean.
Dude, it was free.
I mean, I upgraded mine.
Free.
But I just wanted it so it would last for a while.
Because
My phone still got a button. I'm going to keep it. Well. I will miss my
phone. Number five, all in all, just be content with what you have.
Yeah.
Don't be striving for more. As we sit around here with all this awesome podcast technology.
Huh?
You know,
I'm sorry. Right.
I could talk about minimalism, but I don't think we need to go into it as much as I thought I would. I thought.
No, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head.
But now we're going to head into living in community.
Correct.
All right.
All right.
So, well, living in community, this topic is near and dear to my heart. And actually, to not go too far down the rabbit trail, but that I would say that there were two aspects of my Christian life that really started me down the path of growing in Christlikeness. And one was teaching, and the other one was living in community. So the two things I fought for a long time as a new member of the church we all go to now is I didn't want to serve and I didn't want to be together. I wanted to do my own thing and I didn't want to be tied to anyone or anything in the church. And when there was an opportunity to start teaching and I took that really caused me to have some spiritual fire. And then I was part of a community group for years. And I would say that community, that fellowship was really one of the major aspects of growth in my Christian life. So much so that the first sermon I ever preached at our church was about the topic of living in community or fellowship. We're doing a series on spiritual gifts or spiritual disciplines, and kind of different guys took different topics, and that one was given to me because I was all jazzed up about it. So, and I still am, but I was really, really excited back then. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. So we're together, we're near. Don Whitney says this, he says, thinking of the spiritual disciplines as part of the Christian life unrelated to the fellowship of believers is unbiblical thinking. So what he's saying is, we've talked about Bible reading, we've talked about prayer, we've talked about all these different things, but if we're thinking about these disciplines apart from living together as fellow believers, we're not thinking in the right way about what Christianity really is. So J.I. Packer defines fellowship as seeking to share in what God has made known of himself to others as a means of finding strength, refreshment, and instruction for one's own soul. So here's my question to you guys. When we think about fellowship, where do we do it and what is it? So what I mean is, can fellowship be done anywhere, or is there only a certain kind or certain place that we go to when we do fellowship?
That's not, you're asking us.
I'm asking you, what do you think? What do you think?
I mean, I feel like we're fellowshipping right now.
I think we are.
There's, yeah, a few places that are off limits, but otherwise I think you can fellowship just about anywhere that you can gather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So let me, a couple of texts, and then this other thing I want to ask you. So Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So the idea is, if the church is, the analogy that the New Testament uses is the body, you know, it's pretty hard for the body isn't separated, right? Like just by the way that the examples and the picture, the word picture that like Paul in the New Testament uses, they're saying, you know, we're a body. And so your hand can't be in a different state than the arm, right? That's just not how bodies work. Yeah. And so I think the Bible
pre-assumes that your community and your church is local and near and connected, like a body is local and near and connected. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 say, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So part of being brothers and sisters in Christ is that we should be near enough to, so how well do we know each other, right? How well do we know each other to know, how do we know if one of our brothers or sisters is in a transgression or in a sin? Hmm. And do we have the relationship to be able to go to that person and say, hey, you need to turn, you need to repent, you need to come out of that. Isn't that interesting? That, I mean, again, the Bible just assumes that you're going to be near enough to somebody that you can see a change, and that you're close enough to them relationally that you can say something. Hmm. Because no one just loves someone bombing in and being like, hey man, I don't know you, but you're doing it wrong. That's just not really how it works, right?
No. I don't even like my wife telling me what I'm doing.
Right? Yeah. And bearing one another's burdens, right? Like shouldering the load together. I mean, isn't that just a comforting, helpful idea that if what I'm doing in this life is carrying this boulder, like one way that we can lighten our load is to have someone else come along and also help lift, right? Help take these burdens. We know that ultimately, like in Matthew 11, Christ is the one who takes our burdens, but there's this real element of part of how Christ does that in the real world is through fellow believers.
Yeah. I wonder if I know that I think the two things that keep us from confessing sins to one another is pride and shame.
Oh, for sure.
And I wonder if we lived in a way that we didn't feel those two things around each other. And how like life fulfilling that kind of community mm-hmm. could be,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. Well, even in Galatians 6, where it says, keep watch over yourself, lest you too be tempted. So when Paul writes, he says, you can't get on your high horse and say, you're always the one who restores somebody. You need to watch yourself too. Mm-hmm. Like we can't have pride or we can't pour out shame because except by God's grace, we could be the ones. And you know what? Yeah. We'll probably be the ones at some point needing someone to say to us, hey, you're dropping the ball, man.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no we're the encouragers, you're the screw ups. Mm-hmm. Like there's not like, and you never, I mean, like we're both on either side of that equation.
That's good.
And we just can't. We can't live that way because
right. That's
that pride that goes before the fall, right? Saying, mm-hmm. I'm never the one to need help. I'm the one to give help.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a healthy place to be. And Paul doesn't assume that. He says, those of you who are more spiritual should restore those in a spirit of gentleness, but keep watch because you too could be tempted. And so he says, so the stronger, more spiritual brother also needs to like, take heed. That's how serious sin is. That's how dangerous. Yeah. That's why we need each other. Hebrews 3 says, exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, and indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Again, another just great text about the scariness and the seriousness of sin, how that it can draw any and every one of us in so much so that we need to exhort and encourage one another every single day. For how long? Well, as long as we call it today, which is forever. So until Christ returns, we need to encourage one another because the fear is we could be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like Brandon's really good at that. We get a text multiple times a day from Brandon.
Right.
Encouraging, just there's random verses, there's random thoughts that are pretty uplifting and encouraging for the most part. Sometimes it's just weird, but.
Sure.
It'd be weird.
No, I guess I always try to I always try to be encouraging because I guess I didn't necessarily grow up that way. So it's like, well, I want to encourage people, whatever, because I would have loved to have been encouraged too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
do you need encouragement? Is that what you're asking?
No.
Oh.
I mean, sometimes I'll need it.
Okay.
But.
Because I'm not good at it.
No.
That's a funny thing, isn't it? Like there's people that are gifted at things.
Yeah.
But there's still some things that we're all called to do. Like yeah. We should all encourage. But some people are actually good at it. Like I would say, like he's good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Our pastor's good at it.
For sure.
There are some people that are just like really good at it. Like we're all called to do it. And so, you know, we need grace for it. But like when you are good at it, like those kind of people never want for friends. They never want for anything because, I mean, nothing feels better than getting with somebody and leaving feeling better. Mm. Then you start it. And that's not, I think, just like corny self-help stuff. That's like, I think that's biblical. I think that's the idea of like, we need to be encouraged because life's hard. I mean, we were at a table 40 minutes ago and we were like, yeah, you know what? This week kind of had some crummy stuff in it. And like we need each other, right? Yeah. That's what we need.
Yeah. Listen, I think, what was it? When setting my rule of life, I wanted to make a priority of like, even like us four getting to retreat with one another or whatever, like it's like take a Friday night and then a Saturday and come back to Saturday night or whatever and like retreat and be with one another and encourage and like build this platform, but also just build each other up as like in a brotherly bond.
That'd be dope
or whatever. And I know somebody.
Is this your way of like telling us so that like you can also tell our wives? I feel like that's what's happening.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I thought about it, and like I've got a hookup at the Ponca State Park.
Yes, you do.
Where we could hang out in the cabin.
Dude, those cabins are sweet.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
So it's like I was like, it'd be cool to do that because I think if we're gonna really build community, it has to be outside of like church functions and like
gotta be out of the norm.
Yeah, because it's like if we're gonna do this life together, which has always been my want, is to have like, because I don't have siblings or anything like that, so I've always wanted like a bond with my friends, and it's more like a brotherly bond. So it's like I've always wanted to cultivate that kind of stuff, and do intentional things. That's why I reach out all the time and I send encouraging stuff. It's like, I'm thinking of you guys. I care about you guys, and I want to make sure that you're always pointed to Jesus and all that too. You know, but that's.
I don't have a brother, but I imagine this is what it feels like.
Sure, I don't know.
That was so cheesy and corny.
Can I add a little bit of
brothers
to you? But from Practicing the Way, it talks about community. And it's talking about like seven rhythms of healthy community. And that would be celebrating together, like getting together and celebrating like a birthday or like going around and saying what's good in your life and just celebrating that with one another, bearing each other's burdens, confessing sins to one another, hospitality. So it'd be like take a night to meet together and instead of encourage each other in your community, invite a friend or a neighbor. And just have a get together to bear witness to your community. Eating together. Everyone here is good at eating.
We love to eat.
We love to eat.
Well, first ballot Hall of Fame.
I think this one is way more awkward to do with one another. But it's to pray and worship together. Mm. I think it's awkward.
Like if we just did it like right here.
Or like if we got a group together who are like, we're going to pray and we're going to worship. Because to me, like worshiping together in that kind of like more of like a laid back setting is way more vulnerable.
Oh, it's very,
yeah, I agree with
dude,
that.
Yeah, that's so hard. Like at retreat when we were up in that it's dome so thing, hard. It was sounded good, but it was much more vulnerable. It was much weirder just because we were in the middle. It was us, our instruments and voices, and that's it. And like, yeah, we had just got done playing on a stage and it was like, I can hardly had a drum set on stage, but I can't do that in the middle of the room. No. It's, yeah.
So, so, yeah. So I think
the guy's so hot.
Yeah. Dude, he was so hot.
Sweating on everything.
So I'll even throw an idea. If we do like an under 40 group, maybe we should intertwine worship into that.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Yeah, the worship together.
Yeah. It's called the Wealthy Community Group now.
Yeah.
Did you change it?
I am, because we've got those people that are over 40. It's sending us are careening towards 40 quicker than we'd like.
I'm so glad you look at the website that I work so hard on.
I think that's a good idea.
He doesn't have time for those distractions.
And then the last one would be generosity. It should be, there's a lot of ways to be generous in your community. It would be like open up the floor for your community. Ask, does anybody need financial or practical, like a practical need in your community? So it's plan a night in which people bring extra money. They're able to donate to needs in or outside of your community. So that could be like, we could have a pot or whatever, and we put the money in and we give it to some organization around our area.
So I know, bless them. I know this, the home church, that they, when they take in their tithes and offerings, they find someone in the community that needs help. And that's where their tithes and offerings go, because I mean, they're just a small little home church and they're all about the community, which is so cool.
Yeah.
Most churches have like a deacon fund where they, it's for the physical needs of like the body.
Yeah.
Pretty common. Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh, this is a good one. This goes in with simplicity.
We already covered that.
We have. But it says adopt a monthly rice and beans night. By choosing a simpler, less expensive meal, members of your community can choose to bring the money they would have spent on a more elaborate meal and instead donate that money to a local nonprofit or to someone in need in your community.
I love rice and beans, so.
I do too.
So good.
It's good.
That's good. That's good. The only other thing I was going to say, this is something that is a hotly contested idea. We had conversations in a community group I was in for years about this is what constitutes fellowship. So we already said it can be anywhere. We've got these different ideas from Brandon of some events, but what, like what is the difference between fellowship and hanging out?
Mm.
Yeah. And are they different or are they synonymous? And here's the phrase I've always used is not the event, but the content.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not what it is, but how is it you are speaking or do what is the content of your speech or your actions at the event? So we could be eating or shopping or recreating or whatever. Mm. And we could either be fellowshipping because we're talking about the deep things of God or encouraging one another in a spiritual way, or we could just be hanging out. And I like both. And I think there's a place for both, but I do think fellowship should be a little more fine pointed. Yeah. That makes sense.
And it's edifying Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can edify Christ by hanging out, but like we should also have that gear where we can just turn and say, well, what are you dealing with?
Yeah.
What's happening? Yeah, how can I pray for you? That's a simple question you can ask.
That's good. I don't like answering that question.
No, no one does. It's like no one likes to worship.
But I think it's because we put on a facade that we have to be like, there's to be really good.
Yeah, it's all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be really good at doing everything all the time. Like there can't be anything wrong in our lives or we're doing something wrong. I lived that life for 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get out of that mindset.
I feel like I'm still feeling the weight of that still, like in my life.
Yeah.
Still. Like I feel wore out more than I've ever felt in my life.
Mm.
And I think that's because I put too much of this stipulation where I have to be good enough.
Yeah.
Or better enough. Or even better than
others. Better than.
And
yeah.
So it's like, there's just been times, and I know it's burnout or whatever, but I just felt like yesterday we kind of did like a Sabbath day.
Like who's we?
My family.
Okay.
But we, like I didn't really do much at all.
Hmm.
My Bethany went out and got her toes done with my mom. But other than that, it was just like super chill. But there's this
like angsty, almost like low grade anxiety inside of me. It's like, I'm not doing enough or whatever. I'm sitting here like not doing anything, being with my kids and my wife stuff, but they're still like, I need to be doing something or whatever. So it's like, cause I'm like, I'm not doing enough. That means I'm going to fail in all these other spots in my life. But it's not, that's not true.
No.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Yeah. I was just like, but I do think that comes from the past. That
I agree.
We've had.
We've that's been shoved down our throats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and by the grace of God, he's pulled us out of that, but there's still a lot.
Oh, that residual is not gone.
No. So it's like I said, I feel a lot more tired than I probably feel in my life. Yeah.
I don't feel the burnout that you feel. I've never had the feeling of burnout.
Sucks.
Yeah, well, I frankly don't believe in burnout. And we've had this conversation. I disagree with burnout, the idea of it. And I feel like if you're called to something, then God will sustain you in that.
I agree with that. I think in another way, if we're kind of, which if in my case, I was striving to do something that probably God didn't have
planned for your life.
Yeah.
And you were trying to fight it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where burnout comes in.
I understand. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that residual of all that nonsense.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
And I want to be prideful, and I don't want to admit to you that I've done something wrong. I don't want to admit to you guys that I'm a failure, and that my wife and I argue.
I think I was sitting down.
Right. That I'm not always the nicest person in the world. But like, yeah, I don't need to confess all my sins on camera, but like, it's hard to talk about.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I have a wife who can talk about those things with, but I mean, your wife especially. It's super beneficial. And then she comes to me, she's like, yo, you messed up. she admits when she messes up too. She's very quick to admit when she messes up, which is super nice. And I wish I was like her.
Yeah. I would agree with that statement for myself.
Yeah.
I would agree both of you need to be more like your wives.
Yeah.
But isn't that, but I mean,
more gracious. Marry someone you admire.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So we did, you know, that's the thing about sin though, right? Like sin.
Married way up.
Yeah.
I know. I agree.
Sin does that though, right? I mean, sin separates us. Sin makes us think that we're on an island. Sin makes us think that we're the only one going through this. Sin makes us think that I can't confess this because the social capital I will spend with my friends to admit this is too great. I can't pay it. I can't pay it. And that's just not, it's just not the Christian life. I mean, the dirty secret of the Christian life is that the more you grow in Christ, the more you realize your sin. So the more you're not shocked when a friend says, I'm struggling with this, take a number. Sin's like whack-a-mole. You knock one down, two more pop up. We're all dealing with it. And so I just, again.
Except to that, sin wants us to feel alone.
Yes.
Or much less of a threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From Satan and his machinations when we're not, when we're working together.
And his what?
Machinations is a cookie.
You got this iPad.
Get it.
That means H.
What does it mean?
Like.
Schemes.
Workings. Schemes, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Like when he pushes the button, all the stuff moves.
That's a machine.
Yeah. Machine and machination start with the same root word.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what else does? Macaroons.
They do. That's a cookie.
It's not a good cookie.
No. It's life.
Macaroons.
But here we are.
Yeah. That's his life.
And this is why community, as we wrap up this, we need to move on. But
yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of community is that we're not alone, both in our own struggles, but also in where we can go.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't have to go any further than our community to be able to bear one another's burdens and to care for one another. I mean, the more you're rooted in a local community, the more crazy good stuff happens, right? I mean, the confession of sin, the growing together Christ-likeness, the caring of one another, even, you know, the caring of physical needs. I can't tell how many people in our church have helped move. You guys have all been at that stuff. I mean, like when stuff happens, you circle the wagons, right? And you start caring for one another. And that's what being part of a local community is there's a need. We can fill it. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes for a good community. And it can be the most fulfilling and the most gratifying, most enjoyable thing you can have. That was my experience. And that again, like I said, when we started this thing, like that was like one of the two pillars of my young Christian life that really lit me on fire was being receiving the benefits and then being part of a fellowship. So that's it. And
that's good.
I'll tell you, but actually we kind of already tied the Sabbath in, which is the last point that we got to talk about. You kind of like went there all
Shabbat.
So I'm going to read Mark 2:23-20. Actually, first, I'm going to read something else first and then go back to that.
Do with it.
That's okay.
No.
Look at Exodus 16, which is kind of, I don't know if it's the first time they did the Sabbath or if it's just like an early example of it, but this is some Old Testament Sabbath and how serious it gets. So I'm going to do Exodus 16:22, probably through 30, just for context. And because I always like overshoot just to make sure I'm not missing anything that should be part of it. So it's a long one, but I hope that's okay.
Perfect.
All right. So 22 through 30. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil. And all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none." Sorry. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. So, I mean, that's like serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I forgot to breathe in the middle of that, so I was running out of air. Okay. Nervous on camera. But yeah, so I mean, just like, I don't want to say that's how the Sabbath started, but that's like, that's how it was for God's people earlier in the story. It was a lot more serious than we take it now, I think, to the point where it was like, literally, they would try to go out and gather food on the Sabbath and it wouldn't be there to gather. And then the stuff that was left over back when there were no refrigerators and probably no Ziploc bags, you know, I'm guessing. I don't know what that was invented. Probably not in the Old Testament. There wasn't any plastic. But, I mean, you couldn't preserve food as well unless you dunked it in salt forever. But the food that they kept that should have gone bad didn't. And when they went out to try and find new stuff, there wasn't anything there to find. It basically just showing that, like, God saying, "Hey, take this day seriously. This is a day to rest. It's set aside. Please use it that way. Use it to worship." And I think at that point, we would then kind of use it to do everything else we've been talking about tonight. It's the time to fellowship. That's the time to worship. That's the time to gather. So going back to what was in the plan that I skipped on, we got Mark 2, verses 23-28, which says, "On the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and the disciples began to make their way, picking some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and also gave some to his companions?" Then he told them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So then, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." So I read that, and I think about how, like, we treat the Sabbath with so much legalism. I think, is, or I don't know if legalism necessarily, but we definitely make it a thing where there's a danger of legalism in it. There's this whole idea that, I mean, that's what the Pharisees did, was build rule after rule stacked on top of each other for, you know, if you do this on the Sabbath, you're breaking the Sabbath, or if you do this, you're dishonoring God because it's the Sabbath, you shouldn't do it. What was the number of steps you could take in one direction?
It wasn't many.
It was like 12 or 18.
Or it was even if they even said not to look into a mirror, because if you look in a mirror and you find a gray hair, you'll want to pluck it. And that's
work. And how dare you?
Yeah.
But I think those two different passages of scripture kind of show the extremes. There's people who just don't use it, and there are people who take the Sabbath way out of control.
Mm.
And we kind of forget that it, you know, what Jesus said in here in Mark 2 is that the Sabbath was made for us to rest. God did it the first time during the creation,
mm-hmm.
and he set the example. But, I mean, Jesus says in here that the Sabbath was made for man. So it shouldn't be something that stresses us out as much as I think it does. Maybe that's a good way to say it. We shouldn't be sitting there worrying about whether we've broken a commandment by taking too many steps or going shopping on Sunday, you know, which I know there are some people that won't do that. It's like, you can't bring groceries into your home. It's Sunday. You can't do that. But, and then going the other way, people just disregard it completely.
Yeah.
I think that it's important. Now, I know that, you know, there are going to be some listeners, I'd say, even that maybe you have a job where you're scheduled on Sunday once in a while. I don't think that that's wrong for you to work that day if that's what your employer needs. You know, I think that it's important to still take some time to rest at some point if you can, because God did not build us to fire on all cylinders all week. You know, we're obviously going to need some time to rest anyway, just because of our physical limitations. But I think even more so that if God commands it, then it's obviously necessary and important. You guys got any thoughts on that?
No, I think
I got plenty.
I think
please bring them. I'm running. I
think in the day and age and we live in of like hustle and hurry and the constant gears going in the world. I think it's almost like a peaceful act of resistance to stop and rest and to reset, not only physically, but like spiritual.
Mm.
That's a spiritual thing. When we come into the rest of, like, especially if we have our eyes set on God, like, I'm coming to just be with you in this moment. I'm coming to rest and not give in to the things that the world keeps saying I need to do on every second moment, distraction on every second moment. Was it Abraham, Joshua, Heschel? He was a rabbi. I could be wrong. I can't remember it at the moment. But it says the Sabbath is a reminder of the two worlds, the world, this world and the world to come, is an example of both. For the Sabbath is joy, holiness, and rest. Joy is part of this world. Holiness and rest are something of the world to come.
Mm.
And I think Sabbath is a time to worship and to be with God in the quiet without distraction. And you can limit that to saying, I don't have my phone on
for an entire day. And you're just no distractions. You're with your family. You said, like, especially if we're Christians, and we have something to look forward to when we get away from distractions, is usually God will come and speak to us because we have nothing to think of besides him.
Well, yeah. So a lot of things about the Sabbath, one would be, we find that the day of worship changed when Jesus was resurrected, right? So the Sabbath in the Old Testament was Saturday. And then we see in the book of Acts, they move the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And so New Testament worship, I think the primary change and why we don't maybe feel as led to say the Sabbath is as firmly commanded as we might think, is because it would seem that you have all of these Gentiles, you have all these people folding in the book of Acts that are not Jewish, have no requirement to take the Sabbath off, and now they're worshiping on the first day of the week, which to us would feel like a Monday. And so the idea is this coming together and fellowshipping and worshiping God in a special way on what they were calling the Lord's Day, which is now Sunday. And so what I think we should do is take texts like Exodus, because what you read was so good. And then right before that, because you had read in verse 22, but before that it said the day before they went out and they didn't listen to Moses. And so some left it till the morning and it bred worms and stank and Moses was angry with them. So the day before they took too much and tried to hold it over. And then the day that they were supposed to take extra and then not go out. So they weren't following God's command. They weren't doing what God said. And so with the Sabbath, we have this great opportunity to come together corporately and worship the risen Christ. And then on top of that, wisdom would say creation tells us that we're not built to work 7 days a week. I mean, just creation said, you know, God didn't work 7 days a week. You know, us working 7 days a week is essentially saying, God, I can't trust you with my productivity. I can't not work 7 days. Otherwise, stuff's not going to get done.
Yeah.
And that there's a lack of faith there. A lot of times the Sabbath is not backing off is typically a lack of faith. It's saying I need every second of my day to accomplish the things I have to do. And if I don't do them, they're not going to get done. And that's not what God says. God says, come to me, you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we know from Hebrews that rest is ultimately Christ.
Yeah.
So we don't work for our salvation. We don't work for anything. We rest in the completed work of Christ and saying he is enough. And in all my limitations, physical, spiritual, and otherwise, I can rest knowing that the work is done. My king is on the throne. And that's what Sabbath is. It's the worship of the king and trusting that I can't spin every plate and survive. I need Christ. And that's what the New Testament church shed light on. The Old Testament church said there are things you can't do. What the New Testament church says, there are things you don't have to do, because Christ has done them.
Yeah.
And we can rest in that. And we can take, but he's worthy of full days. He's worthy of, you know, anybody that says, I want to take the whole Sabbath or the whole Sunday and rest from work and to fellowship. I mean, those are great, great things. And they should be applauded and encouraged, and we should pour gas on that fire. But if you do have to work, what we say is go to work, but also worship, right? Yeah. Like worship. Find a way to worship corporately, because that's the uniqueness of the Christian life. If you got to go to work, you got to go to work.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. But the Sabbath is just a picture of how good it is to rest in the completed work of Christ in every way.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's.
I love it.
Do you think there's any? Do you think there's any practical ways to say if we said we took this day, like we took a Saturday before we came into church? Sunday. Mm-hmm. I say we took a Saturday, just rested with our families, and we detoxed from all like outside distraction.
There's a ton of stuff out there about how you prepare for Sunday morning begins Saturday night. Our pastor won't watch a movie on Saturday night.
Really?
That's crazy to me. I mean, Saturday nights are fun. But some people do that. I mean, so that, I think there's something to be said. A lot of the old debt guys would usually do Sunday morning, Sunday night service. And then in the afternoon, they enjoyed eating a meal, talking about the sermon, maybe reading a good book. So like they would make it like a whole day because they had those bookended by two worship services. And then they would eat and they would fellowship and they would spend time with their kids talking about the things of God. And they called it the market day of the soul. The idea was like you go to market to buy all your goods. This was the market day of the soul. It was a whole day of doing God honoring, God thoughtful things to basically give you that anchor for the rest of the week. Mm,
that's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is like read the Bible or read a book on Sunday afternoon. There's just something about like, I'm already warmed up because of worship. I'm already jazzed up because we sang and we prayed and we heard the scripture. So Sunday afternoons, I love to read a book or I love to read the scripture or a different part of the scripture because I feel like I'm already warmed up. It's like my car's already running. I want to go. And I think that's part of the idea of like, that's a great way to use your Sabbath.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think it could also atone to like a digital addiction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you just say, I'm not going to phone. Distracted by it. I think it's something to do. I think at least in this age, that's what we have to deal with now.
Yep.
No notifications and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No rush on the feelings that we get when we scroll or whatever. But, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So you want to add anything extra from that?
It's been good. It's been good to think about the ways we can grow nearer to our Savior. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's been really, it's been nice to kind of see how this whole, like, rule of life is kind of played out in my life. And I would assume in your guys' lives, it's kind of changed a little. It's kind of changed some things. It's kind of pointed us more towards God instead of legalism or go with the flow. It's made me intentional about how I center my life around God, what I read, what I put in my mind.
Yep.
Yep.
Who I surround myself with. And ultimately, we want to point each other to God.
Yep.
To be more like Him, but to do the things that He did on earth, for the sake of others, for the sake of our wives and our families, and our friends and our community. This has been a very, very, at least for me, like spiritually. It's been really fulfilling to kind of go through all this and really discuss it, break it apart, study it. Yeah, it's been really good. Check us out on Apple Podcast. Rate us, give us a review.
Preferably 5 stars.
Yeah, if we're good. Stay tuned for our next episode. It's going to be spicy.
We're not going to tell you what it is. You're just gonna
have to. But it's going to be.
It is.
Much prep.
Hot take.
Yeah. Much prep.
Currently, we're not on. So, can I say that we're not on Anchor anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're not on Anchor anymore.
We're still on Spotify.
We're still on Spotify. We're on everything.
We're now going to be on
YouTube. Are.
We are.
We're,
gonna,
be a, we're what?
Aren't we going to be on YouTube? We got to put this.
We are going to be on YouTube.
We got to put it somewhere.
No, we're recording it for fun.
He had to say something. He almost forgot.
I know. Sorry, man.
This should be. I didn't forget. You're that kid that reminds the teacher about homework at the class.
Hey, when are we going to do a quiz today?
Nerd.
Yeah. It's been fun.
It has been.
See you next time. This has been Outsiders Podcast. Have a good one.
Bye.
See you.